Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. My guest tonight is going to be Edward Delcor, and he'll be calling in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to be discussing the divinity of Christ tonight. Edward is an international speaker. He teaches theology and apologetics in San Fernando, California, and he also tutors graduate students at a seminary in London, England. We're going to talk about the importance of the work of Christ on the cross, what exactly that means to believers and to all mankind. We'll also be touching on, of course, forgiveness, sacrifice, suffering, redemption, the process of transformation, and the gift of grace, entrance to heaven, and the fact that we as Christians do believe that Jesus Christ was the God-man, is the God-man, that he was God in the flesh. And so now I'd like to begin with one of my favorite verses, which is Hebrews 4:16. And that says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And tonight, for my scripture reading, I'm going to use Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6. And so if you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with me. And if you don't, well, I hope you will listen. If you know someone who else may be interested or someone whom you would like to listen to the program, I hope you will give them a quick call and ask them to tune in. And you can catch us every Thursday evening, as the Lord wills, from 7 to 8 p.m. That's every Thursday evening, and that's Pacific time. We're in Southern California. Again, thank you for tuning in. You're listening to The Sword and Shield Show, and I'm Catherine Resendez. I want to mention now, just very quickly, that for anyone who needs help, for shelter, for protection, anyone who is a victim of domestic violence, there is help. There is help. I realize that men are sometimes victims of domestic violence also. But at the moment, I would like to mention a phone number at which I know that there are services for women and children. I will have more information in the future. But for the meantime, many of you have probably heard of the Sheepfold. If you have not, it's a transitional home for women and children who are victims of domestic violence and who are in need of shelter and protection. And the number for the Sheepfold is 877-SHEEPFOLD. Again, that's 877 and the name of the shelter, the transitional home. It's called the Sheepfold, as in sheep, as in a lamb. That's SHEEPFOLD. I will be very happy to have Edward call in this evening. And I feel very privileged to have him be my guest. I'm very thankful for all of the people who are guests on my show. They are volunteers. And we're all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Edward, like many others, is serving in full-time ministry. So he is essentially a missionary and evangelist. And as I said, he's teaching theology and apologetics. So he's serving a great need and lending his help as a tutor to graduate students. He's very busy, travels a lot. And many times they're suffering from jet lag. I'm very happy he's going to be able to call in tonight. I would like to make mention of the fact that we have a special holiday coming up at the end of this month, celebrated by probably most people in the United States, and I don't know about in other countries, but Halloween is celebrated at the end of the month, the last day of October. And in Christian churches and schools, we, instead of calling it a Halloween party, we have what we call a harvest festival, where we have games and candy and prizes for the children. But we choose not to dwell on dressing up like demons, ghouls, and goblins and witches and those sorts of things. We encourage the children to wear other types of costumes or wear no costume at all. They can have face painting and participate in all kinds of games and lots of fun activities. And we have what we call the trunk or treat exhibits, where people decorate the back of, we decorate the back of our cars and trucks, fill them with candy and prizes. And again, we have all kinds of games for children and adults, and the children really enjoy a great time in a safe atmosphere. And we focus on celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not taking calls from the public at the moment. We will do that in the future and have people call in. I think it would be really fun to talk to people about how they celebrate their holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, any type of holidays that families come together and enjoy. And for those special events, whether they involve worshiping the Lord or not, whether they're just times of relaxation and recreation for the family, it's nice to share those things and hear how people use their time to celebrate the family and to help others. And this is a holiday where we can come together and volunteer in our churches and community centers to make a fun time, a safe and fun time for our children and grandchildren, and even our neighbors' children. Whether we have children or not, we can help others and join in with groups of people and have a great time and help keep our children safe and keep them off the streets. So in the future, I would like to sort of exchange ideas with people and just find out what they think is a fun time. And would like to always bring that around to thoughts of how we can help other people. Because none of us are alone here. And it's a great thing when we can look out for each other's children and look out for each other's families, enjoy special times together. And whenever we have opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what we should do. Again, you're listening to the Sword and Shield Show. And probably in about 5 minutes or so, our guest, Edward, will be calling in. I'll be interested to find out what experiences he's had in his work and teachings this week. And coming back to the Halloween holiday again, many of the costumes that people wear, and my children wore some as well when they were young. My children are grown now. Many of the costumes focus on the dark side, death and monsters, ghouls, and skeletons, all of those types of things. But many people like to dress up as the devil, as Satan, or as a witch, or some evil person. And I've heard many times that we have to be careful, because sometimes we can take on the types of personalities that would have belonged to such a person or such a spirit. And I'd like to have a discussion sometime on the different thoughts about that and different teachings about that, whether you think it's just foolishness or whether you think there's something to that. Because we do know that demons, evil spirits exist, as well as the good spirits, as well as angels and good spirits, and angels are messengers from God. And so I love to see children dressed up like little angels, but I don't like to see anyone dressed like a devil. And I've seen some very cute witch costumes, but I wouldn't want my child to wear a witch costume nowadays, especially. And little children are so vulnerable, and they learn so much at such an early age. And many of the things that they're learning today, I wouldn't want my young child to learn. I don't want my grandchildren to learn certain things that are being taught today. So I'm very interested to speak to teachers and find out what they are required to teach in the schools today and what they personally would teach their own children and grandchildren. And so this is a good time of the year to think about such things and to talk about what the Lord teaches. We should talk about what the Lord teaches every day of the year. This show, the Sword and Shield Show, is all about spreading the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I like to read one chapter of the Bible on each show. And the Lord tells us to teach our children and grandchildren, to raise up our children and grandchildren to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Of course, if we don't teach our children at home, they're going to get an education from the streets, from the world, from whatever other people are teaching them in school. And sometimes they may be taught things that we would not approve of. And so we need to be very careful today what we read and study and what we practice. It can be very difficult. It is very difficult to train our children to do what's right if we don't do that ourselves, because they do what they see us do, no matter what we say. And that's the natural way of things. And so in the future, I'm going to be inviting some teachers to be guests on the show as well. And I have one particular person in mind who used to be a third grade teacher, and now she's in charge of, or she is the coordinator of, an academy. And I'll be very interested to speak with her and see when she might have time to come and be a guest on the show. We will have more pastors and missionaries on in the future, and we will be talking about special events coming up. I wonder how many people saw the movie that was in the theaters recently called Woodlawn, which was about a high school athletic team. Actually, they were football players in a public school. But it was more about the message that Jesus Christ is the way. There's only one way out of the messes that we get ourselves into in life, and out of the meanness and hatred and prejudices in the world, and that Jesus Christ is the only way, forgiveness and extending love to other people and working together. That's the way of Jesus Christ. And so we need to teach that every day, all the time. We need to exhibit it. And sometimes we can find ourselves doing things and saying things that we don't necessarily intend to do. We can lose our tempers. We can speak out of turn and not be good witnesses, even when we want to do what's right, just as Paul tells us in the Bible, that we don't always do what we want to do. It's not always easy, but we need to make the effort. The Lord always gives us a way out of temptation. So whenever we're tempted to do something wrong, to say something wrong, no matter how difficult it is, He tells us to take each and every one of our thoughts captive unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. We need to stop the thought and not dwell on the thought. We can choose to do that. Not to go with the thought, but to stop it in its tracks, so to speak, like changing the channel on the TV with the remote control. We need to stop and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to go there. That isn't right. that's not good. It's not pure. It's not true. It's not holy. It's contrary to God's teachings. And we need to teach our children that always. And so every day, all the time, we need to be teaching. We need to be learning the Word of God and practicing what the Bible says. We need to read the Bible every day. I realize that many people have very tight schedules and don't have a lot of time to read the Bible. And many times we can skip days. But if we get into habit of doing a devotion, setting aside a certain amount of time every day or a certain hour, a certain time, whether it's in the morning, midday, or in the evening, every day, if we make a habit of that, then it's much easier if we schedule it in, if we write it in our schedules. And what we're learning, we need to teach to the children. Again, the Lord tells us to do that over and over again in the Bible, to teach the next generation. And that is very important. And so, again, a reminder, the reading, the gospel reading today is going to be in Ezekiel chapter 6. The Lord speaks to his prophet, Ezekiel, about the people worshiping idols. The Lord tells us many places in the Bible that we are not to worship other gods. They are all false gods. He says that he is the one and only God. Besides him, there is no God. So we need to worship the Lord Jehovah God, who is one with Christ Jesus, and not give glory to other gods, which are all false. Okay, so I'm just mentioning that again, so that in case you do have a Bible, maybe you could turn to that chapter ahead of time, Ezekiel 6, so that when it's time for our gospel reading, you could read along with us. Oh. Hello, Edward, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for being my guest. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I was saying to our listeners that today we're going to be discussing the topic that we talked about a few days ago, the divinity of Christ. And I feel very privileged to have you be my guest today. Since you are teaching theology and apologetics, and I mentioned that you are tutoring graduate students.
Right.
Graduate students who are attending seminary in London, England. So I'd like to invite you to tell us a little about yourself, Edward, a little background, as much or as little of your testimony as you would like to share with us. Would you do that, please?
Sure. Well, I was brought up in Los Angeles, California. I was actually brought up in a Christian home, but as a lot of us who were brought up in Christian homes, it doesn't sometimes it doesn't follow, and you get into all kinds of non-Christian behavior growing up and getting the wrong kind of friends. And high school and college, that's exactly what happened. And I really got, I think, my transformation, my regeneration, I think the Lord actually saved me in my latter college years, later, in 20s probably, somewhere around that neighborhood, and in the process of growing and in the knowledge of the Word of God, I became more equipped to communicate the gospel and more equipped to just understand who God was and other things. The more I read and studied, I was going to a really good church. And then in the early 90s, I went into full-time ministry, and I've been in full-time ministry ever since. I was in an athletic ministry for about 10 years in the 90s. And then after that, I started teaching, and that's what I'm still doing today. And also, I'm president of the apologetic ministry called Department of Christian Defense. where we distribute literature. We have lots of articles on different topics, lots of information and resources. The website is christiandefense.org. It's christiandefense.org. So we also have a free newsletter that we give out once every 2 months. So check it out. Get your newsletter. And currently I do lectures around the country, outside the country, and I teach at Greenrich School of Theology as a tutor for graduate students. And also I had a 3-year term at Northwest University doing being the senior lecturer there and helping other students and just being involved with them. So that's where I'm at today, and it's just I'm delighted that the Lord is using me in that way to teach, proclaim the gospel of the Son to many lost people, and also to teach Christians, you know, what the gospel is and how to effectually communicate it and accurately, which is very important to communicate it. Just got back from Thailand. We did evangelism there. It was awesome. We got to proclaim the peace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to many Buddhists, 96-97% Buddhists out there. But it's just a delight to do what I do, and I'm thankful that the Lord has used me in that way.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. I remember when you came back from Thailand, and you do quite a bit of traveling because you were also at a conference in San Jose recently, weren't you?
Yes, I was speaking at an evangelistic conference there, and it was a weekend conference. We do it once a year, so it's we always have a pretty good turnout there, and it's just a lot of Christians come to these things. But, you know, as Paul says to the Roman Christians in verse 15 of chapter 1 of Romans, he says, I'm eagerly to preach the gospel to you. Now, we know in verse 16, it talks about the gospel is, Paul says, is the power of God for salvation. That's the yes. normal means that God uses. But in verse 15, he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel. The question is, why be necessary to preach the gospel to those who are already saved? Well, what he means there is he's eager to teach them a more accurate presentation of the gospel, because too many Christians have a faulty view of not only the gospel, but all kinds of things, and they end up doing more damage than good when they talk to non-believers. So I'm always eager to preach and teach to Christians so we can all be on the same page, and it's very important to present God accurately.
Yes, absolutely. And he tells us so many times in the Bible to teach the children, teach the grandchildren, teach the next generation, and train them to teach their next generation.
Exactly right.
And
right.
So many of us don't do that. And when we don't do that, we do a great disservice to them, and we're disobeying the Lord. And
that's right.
So that's a terrible problem today. And a little earlier, I was mentioning that I want to have teachers on, and I have someone in mind that several teachers in mind whom I want to have be guests on the show. I have had one really special lady who's a child evangelist on the show with me a couple of years ago. She did a great job, and she is just totally dedicated to what she does and actually manages a bookstore. She has so much material that we can use in teaching children, adults as well, of course, and programs and classes to teach adults and teenagers how to teach younger children. And I love it. It's I plan on getting involved in that. And so I'd like to, why don't we just move right into our topic tonight about the divinity of Christ. Why is that important to the followers of Christ and to everyone else as well, the divinity of Christ and the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh?
It's probably one of the most important doctrines. Because without the deity of Christ, there would be no salvation, there would be no redemption, there would be no cross work. Because Jesus on the cross, if he was merely man, well, I suppose that would take care of maybe one, you know, an eye for an eye, one man's sin. but he would have to be God-man, so the atonement would have infinite value. And also David says in 49 of Psalms, no man by any means tone or redeem man, right? Or
right.
Become a ransom. No man can do it. And we would say that's right, that Jesus was God-man, God in the flesh. So it is essential to our salvation that he was God in the flesh. It was God that stepped into his own creation. He became man while retaining his full deity. He didn't drop off his deity. He was always God-man. And he lived the perfect life on our behalf, and he took the payment of sin, absorbed it, the wrath that was due our account. None of this could have been a possibility, biblically speaking, if he was not God-man. And it's a very important doctrine that Christians should be aware of because, number one, in John 4:24, Jesus says, God, meaning the Father, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So if you're worshiping a God that's not the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, you're not worshiping him in truth. You're worshiping something else, and it becomes idolatry. And also in John 8:24, Jesus makes it abundantly clear. He says, unless believe that I am. The Greek phrase there is just I am. There's no supplied predicate. It doesn't say I am he in the Greek text. Just I am, you will perish in your sins. And then in verse 58, he says the same thing. Before Abraham sprang into existence, I am. And in verse 59, the Jews picked up stones. Why? Because they wanted to kill him. Because they understood what he meant by claiming I am. Because we see that in the Old Testament, you know, in Isaiah 43:10 and other passages where Yahweh claims to be the I am. But back to verse 24, he says, unless you believe that I am the eternal God, you will perish. That's why it's important in our evangelism. We worship God that has revealed himself in three persons. And Jesus wants us to emphasize his deity, to mention his deity, to focus on his deity, that he's God-man. He's not just man. He's God in the flesh. That's why you have the Apostle Paul, Peter, and Jude, and the New Testament authors of the Gospels constantly emphasizing the deity of Christ, because their Lord and Savior said, unless you believe that I'm God, you will perish in your sins. So that's why it's important for the Christians to not only understand the deity of Christ, but to understand the God that they serve. He's triune. He's not Unitarian like oneness theology believes, you know, one person God. That's what the Muslims believe.
Yeah.
That's what oneness Pentecostals believe. He's not a Unitarian God. He's either triune or he's tritheistic like the Mormons believe, or Unitarian like the Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and T.D. Jakes believe. He's not. He's triune. Unless we can communicate this, you know, we'll just be weak in our presentation of God. We need to be very strong in communication of the accuracy. And, you know, we're talking simple things here. You know, we don't have to know all the, you know, nuts and bolts of the exegetical points, but we have to understand there's one God revealed in three persons. Not three gods, but three persons, and Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Right, exactly. And I have heard many people say that Christians believe in three gods.
That's a very, and I'm glad you brought that up, because you're absolutely right. And when they use that argument against a Christian, sometimes a Christian just has a blank stare, because he was never taught adequately how to respond to that. He's being taught in church how to, you know, be prosperous in his job and in his family and how to make more money and all these things. But when it comes to substantive doctrine, the church today is so, it's almost like there is a doctrinal famine in the church, because they're learning about every other thing under the sun except substantive doctrine. The Trinity is not three gods. That's Mormonism. They believe in three gods. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are three gods. They believe in other gods as well. We believe in one God, one being, revealed in three whos or three persons. Being is what something is. Person is who something is. Why do we believe this historically? we believe this is because Scripture communicates three very essential truths. Pillar or truth number one is that there's one God. Then we have the second truth in Scripture, that there's three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are presented as Creator and God. Each one of the persons are presented as God, as Yahweh, right?
Yeah.
It's only one being. And then the third truth of Scripture is that the three persons are distinct from each other. Jesus loves the Father. Jesus prays to the Father. Jesus is presented as distinct from the Holy Spirit. So it's very important that we understand these three basic truths, one God, three persons, and they're distinct. That's why we believe in the doctrine of Trinity, because Scripture reveals God in that way.
Yes. Now, I understood that when I was very young. I grew up in the Catholic religion. I was born into Catholicism, and I suppose most people who belong to any religion are born into it. Most people are, and many of us leave as we become teenagers or young adults. And when I began reading the Bible for myself, I left the Catholic Church. And most of my family are still worshiping in the Catholic Church. But I was no longer comfortable doing that. And I learned things while reading the Bible for myself that convinced me that that wasn't where I was supposed to be. And so I belong to a non-denominational church where everyone is welcome who believes. Likewise, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Lord God and believes in the divinity of God and believes in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one God, and that is Jehovah God, and He is the one and only God, and as He tells us so many times in the Bible, all other gods are false gods. He alone is God. Beside Him, there is no God. And anything else, praying to, worshiping, anything else is idolatry. And I was glad when you mentioned the word idolatry a little earlier, because before you called in, I was saying that my scripture reading today is going to be Ezekiel chapter 6. And I just wanted people to know, in case they have a Bible and they would like to read along with me at that time, I will be reading Ezekiel chapter 6. And the Lord tells us in that chapter, He told the people through Ezekiel, His prophet, not to worship idols. He says He's the only God. He's a jealous God, and He will not share His glory with any other God. All other gods are false gods. They are not real. He is the only God. And so it's so important to teach our children again and our grandchildren, and to teach others. We're supposed to teach others, even adults. And we need to do it in the spirit of love and gentleness. And sometimes it can be very difficult. People don't want to hear what we have to say. Many times they think that we're giving only our opinion. And so we need to be clear when we're given the chance. We need to make it clear that we are telling them what the Bible says, what God says, because we believe that this is the true Word of God, the infallible Word of God. And but so many times people will take offense right away at what we're saying and will turn away and not allow us a chance to complete what we would like to share with them. And I can remember being offended at certain things that people tried to say to me when I was a devout Catholic. And I remember having a conversation with a family member whom I love very much, who told me, I don't think I will ever change my religion. I don't think I will ever leave the church I'm attending. But she didn't understand that it wasn't about belonging to that church or that religion, but it was about having a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
True.
And that was so difficult. And sometimes it's much more difficult to have that conversation with a family member. It can be so much easier to speak to a stranger, someone who doesn't know us. And that's very sad,
yeah.
Isn't it? The people that we want to share with the most, those we love the most, are many times the ones that we turn away.
Very difficult.
Yes.
Right.
But we are not to give up. And so because, of redemption, salvation, forgiveness, the Lord is forgiving and he's patient and kind. He suffered and sacrificed so much for us to redeem us. And we know that the process of transformation can take a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption is something that the Lord did for us. And he suffered so much to do that, to give us salvation.
Right.
He gave himself
so
that we can teach others about him and what he did for us, and about the work and the sacrifice that he did on the cross. And that it's all free. We just have to accept it. We just have to accept it by faith, by accepting him, by accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as God himself, who died to give us salvation and eternal life.
That's right. It's another important topic is how a man is justified or justification through faith alone, which really sets Christianity, it distinguishes the Christian biblical religion from most non-Christian cults who have a works salvation system. You talked about Roman Catholicism. It's a series, it's a system of pluses, like works plus faith, Mary plus Jesus, the church plus God, a scripture plus the church fathers or tradition. It's always an and or a plus, where we say, no, a man is saved through faith alone, apart, as Paul says in Romans chapter 4, apart from works, choris ergon, apart from works, because it's Christ alone. It's not us helping Christ. In Rome, Jesus is more of a junior savior. He doesn't really do the job. He helps. He doesn't do the job. You got to do your meritorious works, baptism and all these things to help Jesus do the job. We would say that's not Paul's theology, nor was it any New Testament theology or even the Old Testament who pointed from that man is righteous. He credits, because of his faith, he's credited as righteousness apart from works, just like Abraham, just like David says in New Testament theology, we're saved apart from works. And that's why we pray for Catholics. We pray for those in Rome, Roman Catholics, that would that God would deliver them, whether it's a family member or a friend or people that we know. We just pray that God would deliver them to the true Jesus Christ and the truth of his word, that we're saved by faith alone, which really is grace alone when we're talking about that. Because if you have to do anything, if you have to do works, it's not grace alone. It's grace plus something that you had to do. And Paul says, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified through or from faith, we now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that's an important doctrine that Christians should be aware of as well, is their own salvation. You know, it's not a work system like some of these many non-Christian groups with a spouse,
That's so true. And, oh my goodness, so many of us, I know this was true all the time that I was growing up. We went to church on Sunday, on holy days of obligation. I grew up in church. I was always in church. But we went to church, and I felt so close to the Lord when I was in church. You know, it's like a holy atmosphere. First of all, we dressed up in our Sunday best to go to church. And so I felt very special. And there was an atmosphere of holiness. The prayers and, you know, the sacrifice of the Mass, the traditions, all of that. And I loved it. I loved being in church. It was wonderful. It was so peaceful. And I felt very close to God. But when we went home, changed out of our pretty dresses and whatever. When I was a little girl, we still wore hats and gloves
right.
to church, you know, and all of that. And then later we wore chapel veils, which is very nice, very beautiful. We dressed for the Lord, you know, dressed up to go to church, and we were on our best behavior. When we went back home, we changed out of those nice clothes and went to play and, you know, and we went back to our old behavior. We left our good behavior behind when we left church, and my siblings and I, you know, and we went on to play. And Sundays after church, we went visiting relatives or whatever else we did on Sundays after church, and we still had to be on our good behavior. But many times we wound up fighting and squabbling about things, whether it was over toys or whatever. We left our good behavior behind. We went back home to the same life that we left when we went to church, and things didn't change. And I didn't know anything then about having a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, if I heard anything about transformation, I'm sure I did, and becoming Christ-like, but it didn't stay with me as a child. And I prayed morning, noon, and night. I was always praying. But again, I never knew anything about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we were saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
By grace alone, through faith alone. I didn't know that. And it has not been too many years since I learned it and became born again in Christ Jesus, as we say. And the more I read the Bible, the more I want to read it. The more I learn, the more I want to learn. The more I learn, the more I realize, you know, how little I know. And I just really have a desire to know the Lord more, to read and study and meditate on the Word more. And I'm just blown away by how He speaks to us in the Scriptures. And, oh, my goodness. And we need to teach that. Thank you for what you do. And
thank you.
I am trying to be a good witness. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I really am trying to be a good witness, to grow in the Lord, be a better person, and teach my family, the people I love, the ones who don't already know, my children. And now I have grandchildren. And
that's awesome.
I'm more and more aware of every day how important it is to teach them, because they're learning so many other things that are contrary to the Word of God. In the world now, even
right.
the little ones in school, and that's very upsetting. It's very upsetting. So we need to be diligent about that, about studying for ourselves and teaching them, passing on the ways of the Lord to the children and grandchildren as He, as the Lord admonishes us, you know.
Right.
And to
let
them know the and to teach them what idolatry means, and how there's so many different forms of idolatry, and because they're not aware of that, and little ones don't understand it, but we don't need to make it too difficult. There are ways we can teach them, and the Lord shows us how. We need to stay in the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, as He told Moses and Joshua and so many others. You know, He speaks to us through the Word, and we need to surrender to do His will, and He will guide us and lead us in what we should do.
Well, are far removed from the Scriptures, and they do everything according to how they're feeling that day. But, you know, as Christians, we should look for Scripture as our authority in all areas of life. And we can only do this if we learn. So I, you know, unfortunately, the fact of the matter, in the first century, as it's taught in the first century, pastors, teachers, pastors, they all are required by Scripture, by the Lord, to be teachers. If you don't have the ability to teach and you're just a cruise ship director kind of personality, you know, guy that just, you know, that's really presenting this type of image construct that is built on financial prosperity and all these other things other than Scripture, well, you shouldn't be up there. You need to get off the pulpit, because Scripture says you got to be a teacher if you're going to be a pastor. You know, we need theologians behind the pulpit. We don't need cruise ship directors. We need theologians, people who take the Word of God seriously, meaning people who study God. That's what I mean by theologians. People that study God, that prepares a message, and not just a message on your best life now, or some kind of anti-message that's damaging Christians because they're not in the Word of God and they're learning other things that are unbiblical. And it's a tragedy, the trends, and I've seen around the country and outside the country, the trend of teaching these days, you know, the trend of teaching, it is centering around a gospel of prosperity or the gospel of discontent. Like, don't be content, you know, strive to. It's just, it's so antithetical to what John says in chapter 2 of 1 John. Don't love the things of the world. It says, don't love the world or the things, it's a neuter tense there, all the things of the world. He says, whoever loves the world does not have the love of God in him. Because if you're going to a church and you're hearing messages about loving the world and getting as much as you can, well, John says, you know what? You don't have the love of God in you. That is a dangerous doctrine, and John radically speaks against it, as does Paul in Colossians, when he says in chapter 3, he says, I believe it's verse 2, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on the earthly things, because you have died and your life is hidden. Your life is hidden with God, or in Christ with God.
Yeah. And again, that's idolatry.
It's idolatry.
And speaking of that, it's time for the gospel reading. And so, thank you very much. I'd like to have you say a short prayer. I have just a few minutes left, just enough time to read the gospel and invite people to pray. But I would like you to give your contact information again in case anyone would like to join or support your ministry. Will you let them know how they can contact you? And would you say a short prayer for our listeners and for whatever you would like to pray for, whatever is important, what issues are important to your heart? What would you like to say to anyone who's listening in a short prayer? Hello, Edward, are you there? Oh, I'm afraid we lost our speaker. Edward, are you still there? Hello. Thank you for listening. I'm afraid we lost our speaker. We were disconnected, or he's already hung up. But that was Edward Delcor, and I'm very pleased to have had him on to share the show today. And I'm going to read the gospel message now. I invite you to read along with me, and listen in if you will, and to say a short prayer after the reading of the gospel. And so now, this is chapter 6 of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 6. The word of the Lord came to me. Let me make a new start. Dear Lord, I ask you to please empty us of ourselves here and now, dear Lord Jesus. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, with your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there is no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. Please help us to understand your Holy Scriptures, Lord, and apply them to our daily lives. In Jesus' holy name we ask it, and we give you thanks and praise, Lord God. Amen. Again, now here is Ezekiel chapter 6. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, to the ravines and the valleys, Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars shall become desolate, and your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain before your idols, and I will lay the dead bodies of the people of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you dwell, the cities shall be waste, and the high places ruined, so that your altars will be waste and ruined, your idols broken and destroyed, your incense altars cut down, and your works wiped out. And the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave some of you alive. When you have among the nations some who escape the sword, and when you are scattered through the countries, then those of you who escape will remember me from the nations where they are carried captive. How I have been broken over their whoring heart that has departed from me, and over their eyes that go whoring after their idols. And they will be loathsome in their own sight for the evils that they have committed, for all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would do this evil to them. Thus says the Lord God, clap your hands and stamp your foot, and say, Alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die of pestilence, and he who is near shall fall by the sword, and he who is left and is preserved shall die of famine. Thus I will spend my fury upon them, and you shall know that I am the Lord when their slain lie among their idols around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every leafy oak, wherever they offered pleasing aroma to all their idols. And I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate and waste in all their dwelling places from the wilderness of Riblah. Then they will know that I am the Lord. That was Ezekiel chapter 6. And that was the Lord talking to Ezekiel about his displeasure, his anger towards the people because they were whoring after idols, as the Lord says. They were worshiping idols instead of worshiping the Lord God, who is their creator and provider and protector, their defender. So he punished them for their sins of idolatry because they rejected him. But God is merciful. He is a loving and merciful God that he can't ignore outright deliberate sin. He can't ignore the fact that we reject him. He punished those people for doing evil, but he saved some of them, those people who came back to him, who cried out to him and returned to him and repented of their sins. He received them back. He received them back and blessed them again. Blesses us when we trust in him and believe in him and receive him as our Lord and Savior. The only way we can be saved and have eternal life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is free. It's a gift from God. Faith itself is free. It's a gift from God. And we cannot just be saved whenever we choose, whenever we feel like it. So many people say, oh, I don't want to do that now. I'll do that sometime later in the future. Oh, before I die, I'll receive Christ so I can go to heaven. That's foolishness, because we never know when we're going to die, and it can happen in an instant. And it can happen so quickly that people are not conscious and don't have a moment to receive the Lord. Their life can be taken in just an instant. But he offers us the free gift of salvation, the assurance of salvation. We can know that we will be with him in heaven if we trust by faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We need to repent of our sins. He doesn't say, be sorry for our sins. I'm sure because he knows that many of us would be lying if we said we were sorry. We may be sorry later in the future after we have salvation and look back and realize what we have done. But we need to realize that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, that we cannot save ourselves. There's nothing we can do on our own to get to heaven. We must receive Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and paid the debt for our sins. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and know that you will be with him in heaven, I invite you to say this short prayer. Lord Jesus, I trust by faith that you died on that cross to pay the debt for my sins. I acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I'm asking you to be my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I want to be with you in heaven. I repent of my sins, understanding that that means to turn away from them, to leave my sins behind, and to live my life for you. So I'm trusting that by faith, Lord, and I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. I believe you died on the cross and paid the debt for my sins, and that you rose again from the dead, and that you are in heaven, and by your resurrection, you secured eternal life for me so that I can be resurrected too for you, Lord. Now what you need to do is join a church. You don't need to do that to be saved. God has just given you the free gift of salvation, and he sent his Holy Spirit to live in you. But now you need to live for Jesus because you just received him as your Savior. You should join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Read your Bible every day and do what it says. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. You should join a Bible study with other people who are studying and meditating on the Word of God and who are growing in their relationship with the Lord and in their understanding of the Bible and his Word, and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can be saved too. Don't you want to see those people that you love in heaven? Then I invite you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next time, may you know the love, the peace, and the joy, as well as forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please tell other people about the Lord Jesus, and will you invite them to watch the Sword and Shield Show on Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. This is Catherine Resendez signing off for now. May God bless you. Bye for now.